now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Martin.
And I'm Marty Hite.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the Tattoos and Jesus Podcast.
I am very happy to be here!
Here at TNJ, we seek to blend the righteous with the ridiculous.
Please explain.
We discuss coffee, counseling, Christianity, and whatever else crosses our mind.
We hope you enjoy it.
Okay, let's go.
And welcome back.
Go.
Everybody, to another wonderful afternoon, listening as you're driving down the road.
On another day, a walk in the grass with Marty and Josh. Visualize yourself.
Tattoos and Jesus are walking.
Walking through a daisy-covered prairie in Wyoming.
Do you think that you could be one of like the Calm app people?
The Calm app people?
That talk through a suit. Like, could you imagine? All right, just walk. Just, here's a scenario. I just thought about this. You can cut me off when you start talking like that. You imagine opening up the Calm app, and you're like laying on your bed, and it's like sleep. It's like sleep meditations, and then all of a sudden it's like me or you hop on with this like southern accent, like "What up, y'all? Can't wait to take you through this journey as you go to bed."
It sounds like it could be a John Chris stand-up bit. Oh, so here's the thing. I've been accused of being a kind person. No one has ever called me because I had a soothing voice that they wanted to hear.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody's ever like, Marty, just talk to me for a few minutes so I can go to sleep.
Right. Let me just hear your voice. The only time I've ever heard about my voice is when Kayla and Brandon slow it down to enhance the accent.
Here's the thing. So yeah, if you go back to like our early episodes, you spoke slower because your brain didn't operate as fast back then.
That's your assumption.
That's it.
That's
and
your
so
assumption.
If you turn it to like 3/4 time, it's like, my name is Josh Martin. Yeah,
it's bad.
It's hilarious. It's bad. But it's true for anyone. If you turn down anyone's voice, like if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, Apple Podcasts, if you know how you can change the speed, just slow us down. It sounds hilarious because it sounds like they're underwater 500 miles away.
Yeah.
Is what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, maybe we should record something. TNJ sleep meditation.
TNJ after hours.
I don't know about that one.
Have you ever used like calming apps like that before?
Yeah.
Self-soothing music?
Yeah. I've used them before for myself, and I've played some in session before too. I buy the yearly Calm.
Really?
App. Yeah.
That's impressive. I've never done that.
It's, well, yeah, I've done it a few because, yeah, I guess I'll say it. They say it a lot better than I do. So I just say, here's the mindfulness, like meditation, or here's what you should do.
I struggle to try to do any type of guided imagery, mindfulness in session because of how painfully awkward it is for me.
Right.
Like, I'm like, I understand this is valuable. And if your nervous system is overreacting, it is tremendously useful and regulating. That said, sitting across from someone, being like, let's close our eyes. I want you to picture your head to your toes and we are going to tense the muscles and work our way down our body.
Right.
And it's like, dude, if anyone was listening in, I'm going to get arrested.
Yeah, especially if it's a child or if it's a female.
Yeah, it's like, I just can't do it because it sounds so awkward. It's so, whatever. Yeah, my first experience ever with anything like this was in grad school, and I had a buddy of mine, shout out Blake. He's in Michigan now. Anyway, he had CDs. Back when CDs were a thing, he had these like CD, whatever they were, and he was like, Marty, come on. He was always about things. He was like, come here, you gotta listen to these. I was like, I do not want to listen to this stupid CD that's supposed to put me to sleep. He's like, please, just give it like 5 minutes. He goes, 7 minutes, you'll be asleep. I was like, this is stupid. Okay. So he makes me lay down on his bed and put his earbuds in. So I'm laying there, put these earbuds in. He's like, all right, I'm gonna play it. So I'm actively like, this is stupid. I'm gonna prove it's stupid, and in 7 minutes I'm gonna get up from this and walk away. It put me to freaking sleep.
What was
it? It was like a sleep meditation. It was or what's it, like hypnosis. It was supposed to be some type of a hypnotic. It freaking worked. It put me in the most chill state ever.
You have no idea what it was.
And I was actively trying to resist it. Yeah, I don't have a clue what it was, but I was like, all right, you win.
What time did this happen? Was this like 1 o'clock in the morning?
No, it was like 3 in the afternoon.
And it put
it
you
was right
sleep.
Before dinner because we did it and then we walked to dinner.
What you don't realize is he actually took your wallet. And it was, you were just robbed, sir, by hypnosis. So
yeah. So speaking of weird situations, I had something weird happen to me this week.
I'm not looking forward to
you
this.
You shouldn't.
Story.
All right, so I'm going to try to say this as G-rated as possible. So, as we talked about recently, like I just had my final cancer screening, and am cancer free. Right.
Right, right.
Hallelujah. So
big party.
Earlier this week, I went and I used the bathroom number 2. Did a little number 2.
Was not expecting this.
I know. You did not know where this was going.
Happen.
You have not heard this story. I get up, and the toilet bowl appears to be full of blood.
This is the story that we want to share yes. with the audience.
So instantly, well, we can cut it out if you tell me this is inappropriate. Instantly, I was like, this is how I die. Colon cancer.
That's what you went with.
Yes, just that's immediately because I was like, "This is a like." It looked like red Kool-Aid.
I don't think that's
cold. Picture a toilet full of red Kool-Aid, and so I'm freaking out. I go home and I'm like, told Ashley, I was like, "I think I have a problem. I'm going to monitor the situation." And so for 6 hours, I am convinced that I have a severe intestinal issue. I'm Googling what causes this. Hint, it's nothing good, ever.
Except for one thing.
6 hours later, I have a light bulb moment. I had eaten like a half pound of craisins on an empty stomach. You ever had anything like that happen?
Part of me almost walked out of the door and just canceled this podcast after.
I text my family. I was like, crisis averted. I just spent the last 6 hours with colon cancer, but it turns out I just ate a half pound of craisins. And my brother-in-law, Ricky, goes, I feel you, man. I had this. He goes, I had a similar scare with red Gatorade.
Okay.
He doesn't know I was going to say that on the show, so I hope it's okay.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He doesn't listen. It's all right.
Yeah, until this is
my,
the time.
My dad will be like, hey, Ricky. Yeah. Oh, man. It was.
Man.
I hope it was the craisins at least.
So you don't even know.
I mean, I haven't replicated the experiment, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Replicated the experiment. I was never fully prepared for this story, and I have no idea. The transition going into today, what this may.
Well, go ahead and.
Like, what's the tie in here?
Healing.
Have you healing? Ever.
Could you heal me? Could you
have
put,
you ever thought
could
you would
apply,
be in one
could
situation?
Could you apply oil and pray over me?
No.
Won't you?
I'm good.
Why don't you segue? I got to take my sweatshirt off. I'm sweating.
You're really doing this right now after this story? At least put a shirt on under your sweater.
Oh, I do. It's a red shirt. It's red.
That's orange.
Orange?
Yeah, that might be your problem. It's because you're colorblind. That might be your issue. Is that you're actually colorblind?
This is a red t-shirt if I've ever seen a red t-shirt.
That is not a red t-shirt, but it is what it is. What color is this?
That's blue.
Yeah, it's blue. Okay. All
right.
So, as we transition from Marty's intestinal colon experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Into spiritual gifts for some way. Speaking of crapping out results here, me and Marty decided to embark on a journey of taking a spiritual gifts test. If That's anybody right. out there has ever been a part of any type of church, at some point in your walk,
they're going to give you a test.
You're going to get a spiritual gifts test. And it may be 1,000 different tests. I literally Googled it after you
there's
sent
a
me
million
the link.
Of them.
And there's so, and all of them are different. They all have different, like, answers.
Here's the thing. Talk about religious trauma. So my church used to have a religious gift test on their website. That's the one I've done in the past, and that's the one I was going to look for. I couldn't find it. But so I just Googled it and just grabbed the top result, sent it to you, and that's the one I took. But instantly I have this, like, this is the church, like, I was like, what if I grab one from the wrong denomination who, like, they believe in gifts that I'm not supposed to believe in? Or, like, is this one biblically accurate? Like, which one do we know is good? What if it's, like, Satan is using this to destroy me?
No, that was the craziness.
I still just took the first one, though.
That was the craziness.
And it turned out the same. It literally turned out pretty much the same as every one I've ever taken.
So
I'm going to say that there's some validity there.
Your statement is interesting. So this is why I say that. So I was taking I asked my wife, because me and my wife have had many conversations in the past few years about, because that was a big thing in First Baptist where we grew up. There was one of our close friends was always about spiritual gifts.
Know your gift.
And Sarah
it's
was
like
always
the old,
like,
Enneagram.
Right.
So know your number.
I never found what my one gift was.
Well, you got to get saved to find it.
And she was. But so we had the conversation.
Did she take it too?
No, she didn't take it when we were talking. But
that'd be a good way to find it.
But she's taken it.
Tooken?
She's
Tooken
taken it before. Sorry.
Okay.
She's took it before. She's taken it before. And it's come up certain things. And she was explaining that one day in a group setting. And there was a person that was like, I don't think that's how it works. And we were like, there's not a right or wrong way of.
What do you mean that's not how it works?
Like, so this was her, and I fully agree with what she said. Depending on when you take it influences your answers.
That's fair.
So she just got back from a full 3-month Brooklyn mission trip where she helped nothing but church planning. She took a spiritual gift survey. It was very, like,
it was
apostle.
Skewed. Yeah.
And, you know, church planning, things like that. She's filled one out after we did it in small group a few years ago. And it was very leaning towards teaching.
Yeah.
Because it was a day after work. Her mind is all about, like, teaching teachers.
So
this is what
that's the exact same argument that they'll use with the five love languages with Dr. Chapman is depending on what you're lacking in any given moment sticks out more.
Right.
So you offset the results, which, you know, I asked him about that because Dr. Chapman was the pastor at my church growing up. And we were debating this in college. So I just walked up and asked him one day. I was like, do your spiritual gifts change over time? Was the question I asked. And he says no. So
spiritual
this is
gifts or love languages?
Love languages, love languages. Gotcha. Sorry. But I think you could interchange the same principle here. So, and I think this is a bit splitting hairs. Because my thought is if you change, because what he would say is, at your baseline, it will always be the same. Circumstances may skew it, but it's skewed. That's not an authentic change. Like, you fundamentally haven't changed. You are just temporarily shifted. But all things equal, when you're 20, 40, 60, it will pretty much always replicate itself.
So the consistency of taking it.
And so there has to be a level of discernment of, okay, be self-aware enough that on most days, what is the answer to this? Being aware of your current situation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can help because mine is consistently more or less what's listed here. Even though, yeah, like, it may be skewed a little. Like, I preached on Sunday, felt good. You know, you got a little buzz coming off that. Like, oh, that was enjoyable. I'd love to do that again. And so, yeah, it's like, do you like presenting God's word? Oh, I might give that a higher score today because it's fresh.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, my, like, good still shows up as good.
Yeah.
And, like, what I don't like still shows up as what I don't like.
I got you. So I would say both and. Ooh, how about this?
We're going to have to change this to the Both And podcast.
Both And. I think it can change. I think there may be one thing that's more dominant than the rest that may be consistent. But I think because mine's changed. Over time, mine's changed from, but there's been one that's consistently there. Mm-hmm. But over time, mine has changed due to
just like every theological concept you have.
Well, it's just like shepherding was my top gift.
Really?
When I was leading small group.
Oh.
and when I was leading the college ministry. It was by far my top gift.
Yeah.
It is now fifth or sixth on the list.
It's my number four.
So
pastor slap shepherd.
Yeah. So I don't think
here.
I just think it's and so as I was reading into
here,
it,
I disagree with that. I still think that's your top.
No.
You want me to tell you why?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, maybe.
I still think I don't. What's the definition of it? Let me.
Well, okay. So before we dive in, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. We're already diving into stuff. So spiritual gifts. If I were to tell. So say there's a listener out there, they're like,
what the freak is he
What are y'all talking about? What would you say?
So spiritual gifts are, and this is even a complicated statement.
It really is.
So I'm going to give you the most churchy answer ever for simplicity. That in Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes within us, we receive a superpower. It's like there is a gift that the Spirit, that in connection with who we are, when connected to Christ, becomes the one of the predominant ways in which we express Christ to the world. Is that a fair? It's like the tool that stands out. So, for example, there's wisdom, gift of administration, shepherding, giving. What's some other ones? I'm not trying to read mine. I'm trying to think off
the top. Wisdom, prophecy, discernment, shepherding, faith, evangelism.
Yeah, yeah, faith.
Apostleship.
So there's more or less, there's like 8 to 10 that everybody agrees on, and then there's some other ones. Because this is where it gets weird, and we can talk about this later, is there's a huge debate and a divide within the church between cessationalism and continualism, which basically looks at the gifts of prophecy, healing, miracles, and tongues as to whether they continued beyond the apostles that knew Jesus, or whether they ceased to exist. So some people would include those as spiritual gifts, where some people can prophesy, speak in tongues, do healings and miracles as spiritual gifts, whereas you know, an equally large portion of people would say, no, those are no longer spiritual gifts. So that's a debate we can look at later. But generally speaking, it's what are gifts that God has given you that, when connected to the Holy Spirit, allows you to most, like, that's your bread and butter when it comes to ministry. Personally, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, my experience says it's really not a superpower. It's not like, well, if you knew Josh before he knew Jesus, that man couldn't organize crap. But then he came to Christ, and now he's an organizing fool, and he has the superpower spiritual gift of administration or something. Like, no. I mean, my experience is really just no. It's who you were plus Jesus makes that your really good Jesus gift. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you meet someone who is a really good shepherd, a pastor of shepherd, if you knew him before Jesus, there's a decent chance they did some version of that in a totally different way. Like, they still had those qualities about them. Like, your personality doesn't change.
No, here's my thoughts, and then we'll see what we got going on. I think the Spirit can enhance certain gifts at certain times as far as, like, in the sense of change. Like, so if I'm not in a situation to where, or if I'm not in an experience, or I'm not in a season in my life where maybe shepherding is present, then the enhancement of another gift, I think, could come forth. I don't think there's, like, because I think, as you grow and as you learn more and as you, like, you develop and you mature certain areas, certain aspects of who you are.
Yeah.
And I think the Spirit uses, and I'm also fully on board with what you said. You're not going to be something completely different than you were before. Like, you're not going to automatically, that was one thing that me and Sarah were talking about. You're not going to be something that nobody ever recognized you for.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just automatically going to be this wonderful teacher, but before you couldn't study or learn anything. Like, people put too much emphasis on the fact of separating themselves from their spiritual gift, where it's, I like how you said, it's just an enhancement of things that's already present.
One thing you made me think of, too, when talking about that enhancement, I think it also becomes a desire. Whereas maybe before that, it's like, yeah, it's a skill that, like, you know, like, I'm pretty good. But there's the desire to use it in that way. Like, I want to say, if, like, witness. Because this is going to sound horrible, but you meet people that their spiritual gift is, I don't know what witness is. What, it's not called witnessing, but sharing the gospel to see souls saved. They tend to be good salesmen. Like, not because they're salesmen for the gospel, but kind of, like, it's the same qualities. Like, how do I connect with someone and create an awareness that makes them want what I have?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you meet salesmen that are really good at sales and whatever that entails, and then they come to know Jesus. They tend to be people that share the gospel. Yep. Like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, people may be like, Marty, you're crazy here. Because there is radical change that comes with salvation, but it's radical for other ways, reasons.
Yeah.
Unrelated to spiritual gifts. It was like,
to our podcast last week.
Yeah, like.
Heart, purpose, all that.
Anyway.
So, I think we're hitting on things that could clear up some people's. Because spiritual gifts has this, like, mystical feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what it can be is an emphasis on certain things that you already have that help the mission of the church and help the church itself.
Do you think there's any downside to taking a spiritual gifts test?
I think there can be. I think it can, depending on when you do it, because in my mind, if I think back to like when I was in youth group,
yeah,
and I took it, and I'm like, I have to be this.
Yeah.
And I lock myself in.
Mm-hmm.
To these three things of my life, and it's kind of like you're not allowing things
that,
to be
present. What's funny is you're right, and nobody criticizes it for that, but that is the biggest criticism Christians give to personality tests.
Mm-hmm.
As they're saying, you're putting yourself in a box and saying God can't use you outside the box. Well, that's what the freaking spiritual gifts test does.
Right.
It puts you in a box where it's like, well, then I have to be leading.
Right.
That is my gift. I have to be leading.
In every situation.
Right. And it's like, not necessarily. Like,
yeah.
This is just random people. Now, they were smart people.
Yeah.
Try to come up with some questions to help you gain insight.
Yeah.
It's not the Bible. It's inspired by the Bible. But it's not like.
Right.
I mean, it's just a document. Like, you could misread the questions. It's not, like, foolproof.
Right. And some of the questions are a little.
Yeah.
And there's, like we said, there's 14 different ones. So, like. So
this is. I like the phrase Stacy, who works here with me, she'll say when talking about these type of tests, she'll say, take it, be inspired by it. If the shoe fits, wear it, but do a gut check on it. If it doesn't feel right, right? Yeah. Kind of like we talked about last week, don't feel attached to it.
Right.
You know, read the other ones to see if something else grabs you.
Right.
That maybe the results weren't completely
because
right.
If you think about it, and this is where I think the fluency of the Holy Spirit kind of putting emphasis on different gifts at different times. That's kind of my approach. I don't think anybody's locked into one. I think their one might be more dominant. But if you come in, say you and me end up scoring, quote unquote, high grades in teaching and say we are both a part of a church, there could be moments where one of us is not using this gift because we are both gifted at the same thing.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is not going to put a bunch of teachers together in the same room and say, you only have to teach. There's going to be fluency in multiple gifts being emphasized in multiple mm-hmm. times and enhanced in multiple times, which is where I think the change comes. Because you may be the best teacher overseas, but here you're not. And there's another right. role that's better for the church presently. And so that the fluency of that, I think, helps me understand spiritual yeah. gifts in a clearer way, I guess.
So let's dive into this. So on the giftstest.com website, which is the one we went to, again, don't judge us. I don't know who the freak made this. But it lists.
I did the Lifeway one.
As well? Or is in place of?
No, I did the Lifeway one instead of the one you sent me.
Why?
Huh?
We're supposed to take the same one.
Because, first of all, I forgot. Second of all. I think it'd be good to get two different tests.
Okay. So the one on the giftstest.org.com has 22 listed, some of which I've never heard of.
22?
Yeah. Craftsmanship is listed.
See, that's where it just gets...
Craftsmanship. The gift of craftsmanship is the divine strength or ability to plan, build, and work with your hands in construction.
That's called a skill, not a spiritual gift.
Craftsmanship. Because, and I remember, like, this is one of my criticisms. The question was, do you find fulfillment when you make things with your hand? Yes. But I don't feel the need to.
Yeah.
Like, if I go help somebody build a deck, it's like, man, that feels good. I'm really glad I blessed this person. But I'm not going out of my way to do it. Like, it's not a gift for me, but it's like, that doesn't mean it, whatever. Some of the other weird, it's like, this one also listed, like, the questionable ones, miracles.
That also might be why.
Prophecy. So, tongues.
So, hear me out. This is where I think some of the conversation.
Yeah. But I still go back to my results are still correct.
personally,
yeah,
if people abide by what they feel like is a spiritual gift, I'm thinking a lot of like people in my past who've talked about it,
mm-hmm.
and they say leadership, administration, teaching, knowledge, wisdom, all these things that are listed in the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and then they say, but miracles, healing, some of the ones that they're not comfortable with are not. I disagree. You either got to have all of them or you got to have none of them.
All
they
or
all
nothing.
Mean the same way. Same thing. Because right, they're all listed in the same passage. You
well,
can't
there's,
just pick and
there's,
choose.
Well, there's some pick and choosing that happens in Scripture.
It can't be pick and choose.
It does. I got references.
Same.
I got receipts.
There's not.
Can we look at yours first? Can I guess? Can I guess them? Read the ones Lifeway gave. What are my options here?
They're the ones. I mean, Lifeway obviously
all right,
is the
number
most
five,
biblical.
Shepherd.
Craftsmanship.
Number five.
Get out of here. I can't even believe you took one that had craftsmanship as an option. Oh, my gosh.
What?
Podcasting. Spiritual gift. Like, what are we doing right now?
Give me some options. Give
Jeez.
Me.
These are all words that were actually present in the scriptures when he listed them.
Jesus was a craftsman.
Right. Carpentry. remote work. All right, so let's do this. All right.
Remote work. That's what we should do a podcast on. What should be a spiritual
right.
gift? The gifts of goodness. Culinary enjoyment.
Couponing. Leadership is one. Are you listening?
No, couponing.
Thriftiness. Well, I mean, craftsmanship is up there,
the
though.
The gift of repurposing.
Craftsmanship is pushing the limits. Anyway.
Athletic
leadership,
prowess.
Administration, teaching, knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, discernment, exhortation, shepherding, faith, evangelism, apostleship, service / helps, mercy, giving, hospitality. I don't know if you got all that.
Oh, man.
But
so, let me.
Actually, I printed it off. There should be a list.
The list. That. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on it. Because people will stop listening.
Right. Because there's more to
so
this.
So I personally think one of your top is Pastor Shepherd. But I also think it is not administration.
It's not. So when I filled it out, if I knew,
mm-hmm.
I only filled out and put numbers for things that I knew was going to be. Like, I'm not filling out a one. Like, it was a 5 to 1.
You skipped it?
Yeah. I'm not filling out a one. Let me. Please tell me that administration's a 7 in my life. That's not going to do me any
it's
good.
It's not craftsmanship either.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to say, hold on, mercy?
Is what?
Is mercy in the top 5?
So this is what I thought. I didn't want to tell people that mercy's my top gift because then they'll be like, oh, that makes sense why he's a Christian universalist.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
It's number 1.
Yeah.
See, I know that. You're very forgiving.
So mercy's top of the top.
Yeah, like you do not hold things against people.
Steps away from the rest.
Yes. You see, I called it. But here's why I think pastor and shepherding has to be top 3. Because you better than any other person I've ever met, I could drop you in a crowd and you will have a group text and people talking who would have never talked and become friends in 2 hours. You take care of people and get people together better than any other friend that I have.
That's fair.
And so I don't know if that's pastor or shepherding or it's better or is and there's something else. Like it's, hospitality. Maybe it's hospitality because you love to have people over.
That's all in the same category.
Because I think like that you bring people together and get people connecting.
So I will say shepherding's been one of my top ones in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Exhortation has been one of my top ones in the past.
What's the definition of exhortation on yours?
Like encouragement and correction, encouragement and
through written or spoken word, like a podcast.
Yeah. So like okay. encourage, like which is I think is kind of a part of counseling. Like it's what we do.
Yeah.
Depending on the approach.
So mercy, exhortation.
No, that's not my. My second one's teaching.
Teaching. Okay.
My second one is teaching because I love to teach. I really do. Like mm-hmm. when I was leading a small group, I absolutely loved to teach. I loved teaching the group classes. I loved when I was doing domestic violence, alcohol, and drug. I'm just not really doing it right now. And then the lump of the rest were all like hospitality, exhortation, shepherding, that stuff.
Okay. I agree with that. So I'm shocked with – actually, I'm not going to tell you this yet. What? So, hold on. So, your top 3 are what? Mercy
teaching, and then there was a tie.
Four.
Exhortation, giving / hospitality, and then knowledge and shepherding were one below.
They're
that.
All there. All
right. The top two were mercy and teaching, and then the rest were kind of okay. Within.
Do you want to guess mine? Out of these 22?
Craftsmanship?
Nope. Not a craftsman.
Karenism? I don't know. So out of mine, I can tell you out of mine.
Glance at yours, because I think the ones that I have are also listed there.
So see, here's what I'm torn between.
I'll go ahead. Eliminate miracles, speaking in tongues, and craftsmanship from mine.
I really was going to go
so
with...
So guess from the rest.
I really was going to go with tongues. My top three I could see you being, and then I also could see you not being, because you also hate some aspects of that. So leadership, administration, and teaching, I feel like are up there.
Leadership, administration, and teaching?
Yeah, I think all those...
Administration
are up there, because you're a good teacher, you're a good administrator, and you're a good leader. I don't really understand the difference, but...
Here's where I think teaching did not show up for me. So
I don't know about that.
But here's where I think I'm conflicted. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy knowledge. I don't love studying to gain that.
Okay, that's fair.
And so part of it is studying and presenting information.
Gotcha.
I love having it. And if I go down a rabbit hole, I'll study. Yeah. But just as a general practice,
yeah.
it's a discipline for me to consistently be getting new information. It's not enjoyable.
I got you.
It's rarely enjoyable. So I think that's what kind of derails me on the teaching.
Gotcha.
Because I think there's another one that explains why I, same as you, why I'm good. I like enjoy presenting stuff that looks like teaching without teaching.
Gotcha.
Which is exhortation.
Exhortation. So is exhortation on yours?
It's listed as number two on here.
Yeah. Which, like I said, I think it's a part of who we are as a career as well. Like giving, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we don't give advice every session, but we have enough experience with people mm-hmm. and situations that's a part of who we are. But I think I think what's beneficial is like when you see spiritual gifts, I have to remember that they're for the church.
Yeah.
So how does this look in church settings rather than like career settings?
Right.
And sometimes I don't. When I'm answering the question.
Yeah, it's hard to differentiate.
I'm like, kind of
so
what are yours?
Number two is exhortation. Number three is administration. You called those two.
What was number one?
I guess you're number one. You can't guess my number one. You don't know me?
I'm going to be honest with you. To have craftsmanship on there, it's probably robs some answers. I'm assuming you still have all the ones that I have.
When I tell you this and then read the definition, I think you'll agree.
Go for it.
Wisdom.
Is that a gift?
Wisdom has been my number one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wisdom has been my number one on every spiritual gift test I've taken in the last 10 years.
Gotcha.
The definition I have, let me read this, because here's the thing. I'm embarrassed to say it because it sounds elitist. Oh, you're like Solomon. You are wise, right? It sounds like it's weird. But this is what it says. The gift of wisdom is the divine strength or ability to understand and bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through applying truths of scriptures in a practical way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully there.
Like in a weird way, that is very true of me. Yeah. I love taking complex truths and applying them to practical situations.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't say this because it sounds weird, but if somebody's like, what's your counseling style? It's counseling through wisdom. Like, you just present your situation,
and
I'll take the complexity, make it simple,
yeah.
and apply it to your life in a practical way, and then you go change.
Okay.
Like, that is my style.
So, I guess in my mind, to me, which is what you're saying, that's kind of teaching, in my mind.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Because they're interwoven.
That's what I would say is your – but I guess that does look like wisdom, mm-hmm. too. But, yeah, that's where I think – your strength is, because that's literally what we do on the podcast.
Right, and that's why I think I fall both and so much, is I'm able to dissect situations in my mind. And here's what's weird. This is, I don't know that I should say this. I'm not trying to be like haughty or something. But I can almost see situations. I see visually. Like I see and I think in pictures. And so every person that I've ever counseled, I almost have a set in my mind that is their life. Like, if I know where they live, it's almost like, you know, on Google Maps, you can, like, as you zoom in, each section becomes clearer and clearer all the way down to street view. And so, like, every person that I have is, like, one of those dots.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, so, for example, you sit down, and all of a sudden, I zoom up aerially looking at Bowling Springs. And then as you talk, I zoom in to Paris Bridge Road, El Burrito. Go down. I know where your house is.
Whoa. Don't be telling people where I live.
Address, 1752.
1752.
Texarkana Avenue.
Yeah.
So, anyway, like, I visually, like, zoom in. And if I don't, even if I don't know where you live or anything, I still create this picture in my head that zooms in to who I think your family looks like and what your house looks like. And you talk about, like, I have this. So, anyway, and it's the same way. Like, when people present problems, it's like this big board appears in my head, and I'm able to kind of just differentiate between, like, what is absolute truth that I can, like, put in the middle as, okay, we need to tether everything off this. This is true. These are some uncertain facts. Like, how do these play together? What connects all of it in a cohesive piece that can help me make sense of the situation?
Yeah.
Like, it just plays out in my head, like, without even trying.
That makes sense. How does that look for church situations?
In church situations? Well, counsel. If somebody comes to me with, for spiritual advice or like, a situation, I mean, it's just spiritual counsel.
Because if you combine some of those, it's kind of in the role that you're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as searching for, like, a pastor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
so, well, that's where the administration stuff comes in.
Right,
into.
And it's wisdom, though. Like, yeah. Who do we need to kind of help bring the vision of the church that you have?
That's also how I approach all my preaching. When I preach, I try to say, okay, what is the complex concept that this passage is presenting? How can I harness that truth in the simplest way possible and make the audience connect with it? Like, that's how I approach it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Oh, the other one was pastor, shepherd, and service, which, again, pastor, shepherd is very counseling.
So, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Honest question.
Mm-hmm.
You feel weird taking these and talking about it?
Yeah.
Because, like, part of me, it could just be where we're at in life. It could be everything we've talked about. Like, it's hesitant to, like, dive into it. Like, there's almost a hesitation of, which I feel this way a lot of times. In certain aspects now. I guess it's just how I'm approaching things. I don't know. But, like, I feel good about it when I take it. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. But then there's part of me that's like, what is this exactly? Like, I get, like, almost, like, when I was writing down things about, like, what spiritual gifts are, and then I was thinking about reading through this and explaining this to someone that's never heard it.
Yeah.
It sounds
weird.
And it sounds, I don't know, it just sounds really... really strange to.
I mean, that's not why I have a hard time talking about it,
with, like, anybody outside of what actually knows, like, yeah. Because in my mind, and then there's aspects of it, like, as I was talking or as I was taking it, I was taking some notes, and it's like, for me and you, we approach it with I guess, like, a Baptist lens, yeah. Whereas, like, we automatically write off a certain gifts, mm-hmm. because we're like, yeah, but then there's people who fully embrace those gifts,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, to them it's different. So then I start questioning, like, is this just the view that I have because it's kind of how I view scripture? Whereas, like, if I grew up in a more charismatic church, maybe prophecy's more present, maybe mm-hmm. miracles are more present. And then, so that's why at the beginning I said I don't feel like you can cast out some and keep some.
Yeah.
But then there's also a part of me, and this is what you're gonna like. And this is where I've landed, and this is what I'll say.
Okay.
The cessationalism.
Yes.
And continualism.
Yes.
Are both true.
Son of a gun.
Both, and in the sense of, I feel like people with the gifts of healing can also be doctors, can also be nurses, can also be people, like, in the mental health. Like,
but I don't think that's what it's meant. I think it's,
I think,
because
it had
to me,
to be,
that's
though.
Service. That's the gift of service. You want to serve humanity. The gift of healing was, like, the blind gained their sight.
Then they had to. They didn't have doctors. That's what I'm saying. Like, now maybe that gift
so it
has
morphed.
Has,
but how about in third
developed.
World countries?
It's more. These are more present there. You know what I'm
all
saying?
Right, let me.
Like, I just think that, I'm not saying that this is true fully. I'm just saying, as you think it out,
yeah,
could these gifts actually be things that we see day in and day out? It's kind of like the common graces of medicine and things like that.
Well, let me do this. I pulled up this website. This guy wrote two articles. One saying, what is the top six reasons for cessationalism, which means the gifts of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, kind of the actual superpowers of the spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Right? The ones that feel like superpowers, why they have ceased, cessation. He wrote an article, why continualism. So he provided two. So I can read them really quick. So the top six reasons why these spiritual gifts have ceased with the apostles. So the first one, the Bible says the revelatory gifts would cease, and it quotes 1 Corinthians 13, the love passage, where it says, as for prophecies, they will cease. As for tongues, they will be stilled. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the completeness comes, then these things will disappear. So the question is, what is the completeness? Was it the completeness of Scripture? The fulfillment of Christ, the completeness, like what is completeness? And they would say the completeness was the canon, Scripture was completed, so they no longer needed these. That's what cessationists would say. Number two, they were meant to authenticate the apostles living during that age, and we no longer need that authentication. Number three, earlier lists those spiritual gifts, later lists do not list those superpower spiritual gifts. Number four, evidence within Scripture. Number four, evidence within Scripture. Even when they're talking about it, they appear to cease the further you read the New Testament. Number five, later in the New Testament, when it references them in past tense, not present tense. And number six, there's evidence outside of the Bible that these gifts cease to exist, like Augustine. In some of his writings, seems to suggest that they were for the early church and were no longer existing. So that's the kind of the six, at least that this guy writes out, that cessationalists look to, which to me, just a quick observation, is a superficial argument, right? It's not like strongly rooted in anything. It's just like a casual observation. It's like kind of piecing together some data, but it's not going to go through in court kind of thing.
Right. I mean, all right. Revelation's literally a vision.
So... yeah, but from John, who knew was an apostle.
Well,
so he still fell within the apostolic age.
But who doesn't?
Everyone else that didn't know Jesus.
Paul didn't.
But he was connected.
He never encountered Christ.
All right. So here's the argument. Here's the arguments for continuationism of prophecy, knowledge, healings, miracles. Top reasons, real quick. Miraculous gifts are still valid because we see them in operation today, right? Christianity Today documented credible reports back in 2012 of deaf people being healed, food being multiplied, crippled and blind people restored, even people being raised from the dead. Many stories around the world that talk about these things happening. Number two, Paul gives clear and frequent instruction regarding prophecy in his letters, telling Christians they should earnestly desire them. I'm just trying to hit the highlights here. Number four, people say sign gifts were only meant to authenticate the apostles. Once they died off, they wouldn't happen. However, there's hundreds of other people that the Bible talks about who did these miracles and gifts, and none of them were apostles. So it wasn't only restrained to them.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, they didn't just happen in Corinth. They happened everywhere according to the bodies. All of these cities were experiencing them, kind of like more than one apostle. It wasn't just apostles. Number six, we see them all mixed together in spiritual, the miraculous and the non-miraculous. They're all mixed together, and that's your point.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
And then number seven, Paul was very happy to see the Corinthians had all the gifts, even the controversial ones. Number eight, the church fathers testified of these. So in the same way Augustine suggested they weren't happening, Justin Martyr, around 160 A.D., states in the Dialogue of Trypho, the prophetic gifts remain with us, even to the present time. And so there's eight arguments for. And so really quick, really fast, those are the arguments for cessationalism and for continualism. So quick vote based on that argument, yes or no, here or not.
I'm still with my both and.
Son of a gun.
I'm still with my both and.
I'm going to both and you.
Well, just because, like, I think the reality is God is going to intervene when he needs to.
Okay.
And third world countries, he needs to. Yeah. Here, he might.
He doesn't need to intervene because we're so full of Christ likeness around here.
We're full of resources.
All right.
I'm just saying. If you had to maybe pick one, I'd say continue. All right.
I'm going
to
say this. And tell me if you can poke holes in this. It's definitely not going to present in someone that doesn't believe it's present.
Meaning?
You're not just going to randomly start producing miracles if you don't believe it's present, if you don't believe it's possible.
Right.
So I think that's part of the problem here. I think there's two problems that we have. It's very similar to everything else we've talked in life about. It comes from two extremes. You have people that absolutely refuse to acknowledge it.
Are you both animated? Right,
I know.
Let's go.
And on the other extreme, you have people that fully embrace it.
Right.
So what ends up happening is, by and large, the people that believe in it gravitate towards charismatic churches that embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who don't believe in it gravitate, or that is, I'm not going to say they don't believe in it, but people that's not their gifts. Yep. So they have a hard time seeing it as true, gravitate towards churches where it's not present.
Right.
And then I think what happens, so you have this dividing line where you have charismatic churches that embrace it, non-charismatic churches that refute it. And so because the non-charismatic, they can't even wrap their mind around it. All they see is the perversion of those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a tremendous, if the gifts are still present, there's a tremendous perversion where they are used, at least it's how they're marketed and how they get the clickbait, on how they are used as a money grab
mm-hmm.
to hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the non-charismatic uses that as evidence that it's all just a ploy.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, I think there's another pitfall, which I don't think is as bad. Taking advantage of people for monetary gain and for power, I think will always trump most other arguments.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the other side, the charismatics could make the argument that there's a maybe a lack of faith or an oversimplification of what is God capable of from the side that doesn't believe, right? Mm-hmm. So like there's extremes to both. That said, the argument against to me isn't strong.
Because mm-hmm.
for every argument, there's almost a direct quote from Paul suggesting the other side too.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, the evidence that these very well could continue, I think is pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have those gifts, so it's easier for me to want to refute them. And I feel very strongly that they are being abused
mm-hmm.
around the world by charismatics. And I don't say charismatics as a denomination as much as people who embrace this. It's being abused to the point that I don't want it to be true.
And when you say being abused, being abused as far as the people who still believe in them,
they're
being
yes.
taken advantage of?
They're abused by pastors who have these healing ceremonies
right.
where they really just have an earpiece in their ear. This is well documented. Google right. it. Earpiece in their ear, and people are having conversations in the lobby on the way in, unbeknownst to the person that's coming in. Oh my goodness, what are you here for today? What's your name? I'll be praying for you, Betty, with a broken leg. And then they, you know, earpiece into the pastor. It's like, hey, there's a Betty in the audience who has a hurt leg. And they'll also look for people that they may have issues that can seem redeemable. Like, they're not missing an arm. Nobody's calling them up on like, here, let me draw you an arm out.
Right.
No, it's like you got a bum leg. But if I psychologically convince you that your leg works, you might be able to see some improvement in that moment. Because it's the energy of the moment. It's the fact that you it's the power of belief.
You are what you believe. Yeah.
And so there's a joker, you know, I don't know, come up with a fake name, Henny Ben or something. I don't know that he does this, but other people all of a sudden like, you know what, I'm hearing a word from God.
Yeah.
I think there's a Betty in the audience today.
Yeah. Well, that was documented.
Whose back
yeah.
is keeping her from walking. Betty, where are you? And she's like, I'm here. Come forward. And the adrenaline of that moment. And
or
the
be
belief
fake people or planted people.
In that moment. And right. Yeah. And so that's where I'm like, that it drowns out the power that's legitimate. Because that's what's popularized, are these mass healing ceremonies. When people are not, because I'll say this, and we need to wrap up. All spiritual gifts are to point people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime they're used and the focus is not to make Christ known and lived out, it's probably a misuse of the gift, if not a complete perversion of the gift. So healing ceremonies that are like genie in the bottle moments where you come and you get healed and you leave, I don't really see those as bringing people to Christ. right? In the same way back then for the apostles, it did. It validated them. It validated their apostleship. Again, it made their testimony of Christ legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's happening at these ceremonies. Oftentimes, it's give me money, see me as a powerful leader because I'm able to create. It's not God is using this. Because in times when you see it used, it's used in a purer fashion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I said a lot right there.
No, I mean, I agree. I think it's the biggest drawback for people who are not in church is to see how some of these things can be taken advantage of for financial gain. And we kind of hit on that a few weeks ago.
Well, and what cracks me up is I don't care how much of a cessationist you are, as soon as you have a family member you love that's dying, all of a sudden you believe in all of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Pray for healing, laying on of hands, God, will you work a miracle? Let me, you know, all of it.
I think the biggest highlight is what you said in the sense of you are what you believe you are. And you are what's around you. Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of people being healed miraculously from laying of hands. Like, people still do this. But in those moments, there is and there isn't.
Yeah.
And maybe we're just not experiencing that because the churches or the places that we surround ourselves with are cessational
I also think there's something powerful about authentic faith. It says if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. There was no condition placed on that. Right, and I think that's just an example. I mean, I don't know that he's trying to communicate move mountains, but powerful, life changing, miraculous things would happen even with the smallest amount of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe. I think it's more a testimony to our lack of faith than it is to God no longer doing these things. But let me be honest with you. A lot of days, my faith is perverted. Like, I don't need you. I have power. I can do this thing. You know.
So. We're not going to dive into this. Mm-hmm. We don't have time.
No.
What I think would be cool is to see how much, I don't know, I guess healing is the right word, how much more healing takes place in groups of people who have the continualist mindset when it comes to psychosomatic things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're a cessationist, you don't believe in those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to the doctor, you're doing these things and things. But then in communities where that is present,
statistics different?
Right. Are the results different because psychosomatic symptoms are present? Yeah. And when you believe in that, you are what you believe. Exactly what you say. I think that'll just be interesting, though. It's just kind of a thought, whatever.
All right. That's a wrap for today. Chew on it. Miracle gifts. Bottom line.
It's messy.
It's messy. Yeah, there's not a strong theology on this one either way.
It's a messy topic that a lot of people differ on that I think if you're listening, take the approach that there are two sides to the argument. You identify the side you grew up in.
Yeah.
And you don't write off anything.
Yeah.
And if you...
But if you have an opinion, we'd love to hear it. Yeah. So if you're a cessationist, you believe it firmly, or a continualist, and you believe it firmly, and want to shoot us a... If you're a both and, like
then
Josh
holler at your boy. Yeah.
Large 23, the number's 23, large 23 on sweetweet@yahoo.com. And until next week, y'all behave yourselves.
Holla. Thanks for joining us on another episode of TNJ. Don't forget to check out the links to any of our guests in the show description.
And check out tattoosandjesus.org for additional show information or to submit your questions, comments, or curse words.